This is a story that a lot of people in Brisbane are probably familiar with. It's a story of Mojgan Shamsalapour. So this was a story that I know 4ZZZ has been covering in the news department for a long time, and it's a really, really heartbreaking and beautiful story. So a bit of a content warning. It does deal with some very heavy themes, but it's a really, really incredibly empowering journey. So if you don't know anything about Mojdan, pretty much she fled her home in Iran after enduring rape and domestic violence at the hands of a family member, and she was also offered as a child bride to a man aged in his 50s. So Mojdan made the hazardous journey by boat and arrived at Christmas Island in 2012, and when she was just 18, she actually turned 18 years of age on the boat journey over. She applied for refugee status, and while it was processed, she was allowed out into community detention in Brisbane. That's where she attended Yeronga State High School. And at a youth retreat, she met her husband, Milad Jafari, who is also an Iranian refugee. After 2 years, they married. However, in 2015, her refugee application was denied, at which point she was taken into detention in Brisbane, but was permitted to go to school each day with the guard. However, one day she was transferred to Darwin, away from her school, and then a little while later, when the detention centre in Darwin was getting closed down, she was transferred back to Brisbane. So all up, she was in detention nearly 2 years before Immigration Minister Peter Dutton granted her a bridging visa, allowing her to live and work in Brisbane with her husband Milad. However, that bridging visa is expiring soon, this time next week, and at which point she'll be kind of left in limbo. So I spoke with Kevin Kurdgama, who is Mojgan's lawyer, who is a solicitor with Ward Keller in Darwin, and in 2015 he was named Young Lawyer of the Year by the Australian Law Council. I spoke to him about Mojgan's story and what lies ahead for her.
How long have you been involved with Mojgan's case?
So I got involved when Mojgan got transferred from Brisbane to Darwin, and when she was detained at the Wickham Point Detention Centre. That was in August 2015. So she was previously detained at the Brisbane Immigration Transit Accommodation. So she was detained first, when all her appeals were exhausted. That was late 2014. She was still allowed to go to school at that point. She was in her final year of studies. So she was going to school daily but with armed guard. And without any notice, when she was just 3 months away from finishing her year 12 studies, the detention centre in Brisbane was put in a lockdown, and she was transferred without any notice to Darwin on that same day. So she was then detained here at Wickham Point. It took me about a week to get the proper authorizations to go and see her, I've been engaged in her case since then.
So as you were saying, she was detained in Darwin before being moved back to Brisbane. What were the circumstances in which she was released from Brisbane detention?
Right. So Mojgan was transferred from Darwin to Brisbane in around early 2015, possibly May, and that was when Wickham Point was about to close down. So she was then transferred back to Brisbane Immigration Transit Accommodation. During this time, we had been pressing on with a submission to the minister, asking him to do a few things, but most importantly, we were asking him to lift the statutory bar that is preventing her from applying for an onshore spousal visa. She's prevented from doing so solely because she had come by boat. So we were pressing the minister to do that, and also to exercise his discretionary powers to release her from detention on a bridging visa so that she can reside with her husband and with the community. That's what we were pressing on with the minister. In September 2016, she was finally released from detention on a bridging visa. So the minister intervened to grant her that bridging visa. I think there was a number of pressures on the minister to do that. We did welcome that decision. However, it simply did not go far enough because she was still placed in effective limbo and not been given any certainty of her future except for 3 months at a time.
Mojgan's story was that she fled Iran because she was persecuted by both domestic and sexual violence by family members, and she was going to go into a child marriage with an older man in his 50s. Why was Mojgan not given refugee status in Australia?
Right. Now, the assessment process for determining refugee status is very stringent, very structured. So Mushgan came to Australia, to put this in perspective, as a 17-year-old girl. She turned 18 on the boat. She had just undergone rape at the hands of her stepfather and this another male friend. She had undergone some very tumultuous and torturous things. So she had not got any counseling or treatment for what she was going through. Obviously, she was going through post-traumatic stress disorder and a whole range of other things. So when she got to Australia, the assessment process starts, and then she's required to sit in a room with a departmental officer and speak through an interpreter and relate her story. She was not in any position to relate in great detail exactly what she had been through. So a lot of the details about how she was sexually abused and raped, those details were left out of the account that she gave to the immigration, for good reason, being that she was just not in a position to disclose it to anyone, let alone a stranger. So unfortunate as it is, the account that the department had at the time was not to the anywhere close to the extent to which we now understand Mushgan's situation in Iran to be. Now, had Mushgan been in a position to reveal completely in every detail, graphic detail, what happened to her, there's certainly an argument that could have been made out to the effect that as a woman who had been raped and sexually abused, she's in a class of people who are not protected by the state of Iran, and judicially, this has been that kind of an argument can be sufficient grounds for a refugee status. But it is so unfortunate and understandable that Mushgan was not able to relate that and make that kind of argument in her initial assessment claims.
Yeah, of course, that's a very traumatic experience for her, and so difficult to convey to someone, especially a stranger. And
that's right, yeah.
As you were mentioning, Mushgan has been married to Malad, who is an Iranian refugee who does have refugee status in Australia. Why isn't she allowed to come under de facto status with him?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not just de facto, but because they are married and they have been so since October 2014, you'd think that they'll be able to apply for a partner visa or a spousal visa, and any Australian permanent resident has that opportunity under law to sponsor their partner or wife or husband under that scheme. However, the Migration Act places a ban, or a bar, I should say, on anyone who had come by boat. So the law says that anyone who had come by boat cannot apply for any visa validly in Australia unless the Minister for Immigration uses his personal powers to intervene and allow them to apply for that visa. And that's exactly what we've been asking of the minister since we got involved in the case. And the minister is yet to exercise that power. Really, what we were asking, the minister could do that at any time. He can still do that. He can simply, with a flick of a pen, notify the department that he lifts the statutory bar and Mushgan is now allowed to apply for a spousal visa. She will then go through the normal statutory regime of being assessed as to whether her relationship to Millard is genuine, and if so, she can be granted her spousal visa. But her status as a board person and the minister's refusal to exercise his powers prevents that at this stage.
Like you were saying, Mushgan was released from detention under a bridging visa, and that was a huge win for the community, a huge relief for all her supporters. What is the current status of that visa?
Okay, so the bridging visa was granted on for 3 months initially in September last year. It was renewed again in December last year, and it is up again on the 21st of March, so exactly a week from today. It is at the department and the minister's discretion as to whether that bridging visa is renewed and for what period, if it is renewed. This obviously places an enormous amount of stress on Mushgan and Millard and everyone close to them. What we'll be pushing for in the next week is for the department to renew that bridging visa, and we'll be further pushing the minister to exercise his discretionary powers and give some certainty to Mushgan by allowing her to apply for a partner visa in Australia.